is the Paul McGuire Record. I'm Paul McGuire. As with many of our programs on video and on audio or podcasting or AM and FM and other spectrums of electromagnetic frequencies, we are committed to broadcasting the truth, to communicating the truth electronically, digitally, or any opportunity that comes our way. We're committed to communicating the truth. That means, you know, you can detect very simply whether or not the source that you're listening to is communicating to you the truth, because a source that is compromised, and by that I mean they have to have their hand out to very powerful corporations, globalist corporations, etc., and they're going to say the either spoken agreement behind doors, closed doors, or the unspoken agreement, or the spoken agreement behind closed doors is simply this. You are going to communicate, say, speak, give out the facts, cover the news from a particular point of view that is in agreement with our point of view. And when I say our, I'm talking about the globalist elite, all the media corporations, etc., owned by BlackRock and Vanguard, who essentially control every business, every corporation. They essentially control them all, and especially the media. Now, this brings us into an environment which is perhaps one of the most dangerous environments ever to come upon America since America was founded during the American Revolution in 1776. Our founding fathers were highly intelligent, highly educated, if not self-educated or formally educated, men and women. They knew history, they knew philosophy, they knew science, they knew physics, they knew government, they knew law, they knew multiple languages in interpreting the Bible. They could read and understand and compare and contrast the Bible. We're talking about third graders, for crying out loud, fourth graders, third graders. They could read all different kinds of the Bible, like they could read it in Latin, Greek, Hebrew, and other languages. And they had a strong biblical worldview. Now, if you contrast the level of biblical literacy among the founding fathers and their children, and by the way, let's remember, it's an historical fact that the Pilgrims and Puritans had a doctorate of divinity level, in a good sense, of understanding the Word of God, in contrast to today's average Christian, not all, but the majority. They don't even have a kindergarten. They don't even have a kindergarten understanding of the Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. What does that do? That produces an extremely impoverished and shallow understanding of God's holy word. Now, what that means is if you ask yourself the question, why is the evangelical church or Bible believing evangelical church in America and throughout the world so powerless at this present moment when we are now in perhaps the greatest spiritual battle in the history of mankind? I was talking to somebody that I know, I guess it was yesterday or the day before. This man is highly educated, several doctorates. He is a specialist in cutting-edge areas, and he is not a dumb man. He's highly perceptive. I think he believes in God. I don't know if he's born again, but he's not antagonistic towards God. Now, what was interesting is that he and I were discussing the negative impacts from the coronavirus, the variants, and things of that nature, and then the fallouts from how we have been mismanaging how we take care of the coronavirus, etc. And again, this man probably would be a Democrat or a liberal. But he has changed 180 degrees in the last 2 years. And he it was done with a kind of a lighthearted humorous approach to take away the tension in the discussion. But I just, you know, blurted out in the course of the conversation that, you know, he was talking about the fact that anybody our age, Paul, and I don't know how old he is, so probably in a spectrum of 30 years, anybody who was alive to see certain pivotal events, you will all agree with me, you will all concur with me, that you have never seen the threat to America as dangerous as it is now. You've never seen it at this level before. Now, the only exception to living people to that would be when I grew up in an all-Jewish neighborhood and a heavily Catholic neighborhood. I remember meeting some of my friends' parents, or should I say grandparents, and I was introduced to them in the elevators. And their parents of the grandparents wanted me and my family, because we were Gentiles, non-Jews, they wanted us to see one of the evidences of the Holocaust and the killing of something like 9 million people, both Jews and non-Jews. And everybody who survived the concentration camps, which were a horror unspeakable, they were given, as I recall, it was a green tattoo with a bluish tinge to it. And it was just a series of numbers, like a UPC code. And they wanted me to see that because they knew more than I did at the time, and they knew that the time would come where many people would deny the historical reality of the Holocaust. So the point is that people really were tattooed with a series or a set of numbers, and that was their ID number. And they worked till they dropped dead or they were killed or murdered in the concentration camps. And that whole thing happened. It's a historical fact. And it was, and still is, a foreshadowing. That's when the Bible, or that's when current events take the shape of a particular prophecy. So, for example, this whole numerical concentration camp, mark of the beast, tattoo, people being numbered thing, is a foreshadowing of what the Bible has to say about the Antichrist in the book of Revelation and the mark of the beast, 666. So it's giving us a heads up. And I believe the Lord wanted me to see with my own eyes, not just somebody writing in a book. He wanted me to see with my own eyes the fact that the Holocaust was a reality. And the Holocaust, yes, it was a foreshadowing of the Antichrist, because the Antichrist in the book of Revelation the false prophet in the book of Revelation is empowering the Antichrist. The Antichrist is head of the one world religion, the one world economic system, and the one world government. Now, if you get down to specific job areas and you dig a little deeper, the biblical Antichrist, or the first beast, is basically head of the one world government, and the whole world worships him as if he was God, and he goes into the rebuilt temple of God. Right now, the Jewish temple, which was formerly the built by the king of Herod and destroyed it, rock by rock, it was torn down in Jerusalem, and Jesus prophesied that not only would every stone be overturned in the temple as a prophetic sign of his return, but that also there would be another prophetic sign is that before the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the temple will be rebuilt. So that's a prophetic super sign. Now, so it's imperative to study the Bible seriously and compare and contrast the Bible with history. And you will be amazed about how much information God will give you regarding what is going to happen in the future, what is going to happen in history in the next number of months, years, multiple years, or whatever. It's not just a big foggy answer. History actually agrees with
the Bible, and the Bible gives us an outline of what's going to happen. Now that, any normal person would grab a hold of that with passion and enthusiasm. You would grab a hold of that and recognize, wow, this makes the Bible a supernatural book. And the facts that it contains, where it predicts the future from before it happened, is a supernatural event. It's a supernatural prophecy. And the problem we have in our time and have had in our time is we have had a disastrous amount of people running around claiming that they are prophets with God, but they don't carry with them the biblical qualifications of being prophets of God. So there's no check and balance. There's no accountability. That is why I deliberately choose not to go around. I don't go around. It's my choice. I don't go around claiming to be a prophet and claiming that every sentence or paragraph or whatever that I say is a prophecy. You'll notice that I don't do that, and I don't do that intentionally. Now, why don't I do that? Because I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has called me supernaturally into the ministry, and I have numerous ministry gifts. One is, besides being a minister and an evangelist, but one is I have very strong prophetic gifts. An understanding of God's prophetic word, like in the book of Revelation, in Matthew 24, 25, etc. And I have a God-given ability to absorb massive amounts of political, economic, scientific, military-type information and reduce its complexity and simply understand what's going to happen soon. In other words, the historical progression. Okay, so where I'm going with this is that going back to the last election, going back to the election before that, we had an unusual number of men and women running around claiming to have been given visions by God, prophecies by God, dreams by God, God took them up to heaven, and so on and so forth. And they were, whether they realized it or not, whether it was intentional or not, they were basically functioning as if they were false prophets, because what they said didn't come true 100%, and what they said would happen in the future has not happened in the future. Therefore, you must, as a responsible reader of God's word, you must re-examine your belief in that prophet, because that prophet is giving indications early on that he or she is a false prophet. And you're forbidden to listen to false prophets. So that's why I deliberately refrain from using the term, I'm a prophet of God, or people say that of me, but I don't say it of myself. Why? Because I do have prophetic gifts given to me by God and the Holy Spirit. I do have a supernatural understanding of last days events and Bible prophecy and many other things. However, I need to walk like you need to walk and be humble before the Lord and recognize that not everything that I project, not everything that I analyze and believe is going to happen does happen or will happen on a 100% accuracy level. Now, that's critically important because the Old Testament test, at least, that would authenticate whether or not a man was a true prophet of God or not, he had to be 100% accurate in his prophecies. And if he was off by any percentage points and uttered a false prophecy or something that didn't come true, even if it was a small percentage that he was off, according to the law of God that the Hebrews had to abide by, that man was, under the law of God, was to be stoned to death, put to death, for being a false prophet. That's how high the standard was. So in light of that standard, and in light of the fact that when I examine what's happening on planet Earth in many different nations, I see that there are many people that God has raised up, authors included, ministers included, that have, let's say, varying degrees of strong prophetic gifts. And I thank God for that. And they use their prophetic gifts to lead people to Christ. Now, my concern is that you never place a person a person's charisma or personality above the authority of God's word. The authority of God's word is their final authority. And so, if my prophecies, and by the way, I don't know of any man who exists on planet Earth today or in the past who has had a track record of predictions or Bible prophecies or prophetic visions where all of them that a man uttered or communicated, they all did not come true. All of these men, and women too, have a significantly noticeable and observable failure rate. I don't know the exact percentage. Let's say, hypothetically, they have a failure rate of 35%. Okay? Even if they had a failure rate of 5%, that would disqualify them, at least in the lens of the Old Testament, from being called prophets of God in the manner that Joel and Ezekiel and Isaiah were. So that's why I refrain from using that title, because I know I can't possibly meet the 100% accuracy test. Therefore, I know I have prophetic gifts. Many of you have prophetic gifts. Therefore, I know I have prophetic gifts and understanding and knowledge and wisdom. But obviously, the prophetic gifts that I have are operating in a different venue and in a different category than some of these other people. Because I know for a fact that my prophetic gifts have always worked hand in hand with a study of economics and politics and philosophy and history and government and economics and theology and culture and science and technology. In other words, I do what I say on when I'm on the Doug Hagman show all the time. I say I'm doing the deep dive of research. So I do a deep dive of research, scrutinizing or analyzing the environment and looking for evidences of potential prophecies that are fulfilled or will be fulfilled. And it's not just a sloppy thing. I dedicate decades to this. Then after spending decades of studying and analyzing historical, scientific, technological facts and developments, after committing myself to the most rigorous study I can imagine, then I begin a process like, you know, Sherlock Holmes would, the detective. Then I begin the process, and Sherlock Holmes used to call his process too, deduction. I begin the process of deduction, deducing, analyzing the bits and pieces, kind of like puzzle pieces, and then putting them together into a meaningful, coherent whole so that if there is a prophecy in God's word, that it can be discovered, and then it could be interpreted properly in order to be of benefit to the people of God. So that's how I believe in the New Testament, biblical prophecy is supposed to work. And I want to slightly clarify some of my statements yesterday so that I would have opportunity to reinforce this all-important part of being a prophet or understanding Bible prophecy. One is, unless you're 100% accurate in terms of your prophecies, you would be wise not to call yourself a prophet. And that, you know, that's my opinion. I believe that's what the word teaches, but you're on your own. You have to make a decision yourself. Then the other thing is, I've learned in my own life and watching in the lives of others, numerous men that I would classify to one degree or another, or categorize to one degree or another, and some women who function as a prophet of God, but they don't function, talking about contemporary people that I've known, become friends with, spent time with, but they don't become prophets of God in the sense that they strut around and you know, give out a business card saying, I'm a prophet, or telling people, I'm a prophet. So what happens instead is this kind of prophet, which we see a great deal of, or at least far more than we used to see, this kind of prophet is getting his truth, his facts, his future projections based on intensive and rigorous intellectual study of science, of technology, of economics, of philosophy, of education, of medicine, of theology, and many, many other fields. So it's out of doing the hard work. See, I'll get to that in a minute. It comes out of doing the hard work. After you've done the hard work, then you have yielded yourself to the Lord, and you've put yourself in a position where the Lord can mold you and shape you like a sculptor. And then and only then can the Lord God Most High trust you and deposit real, powerful, prophetic truths in your mind to communicate to the body of Christ and to communicate to the world. But God will only give you that level of prophetic insight based on your commitment to study the Word of God and show yourself to be approved, and to study other disciplines and sciences and histories and economics, etc. Now, only when these two categories, a kind of right brain intelligence and a kind of left brain intelligence, come together through some kind of Holy Spirit entrainment, and you learn the data and the content and the science and the technology that you need to learn, it's only then that you are properly qualified. And also, you must be thoroughly trained in interpreting the Bible and studying the Bible, both New Testament and Old Testament. It's then and only then that you are even remotely prepared to function in your prophetic giftings. And your prophetic giftings will be accurate. God will use you accurately to the degree you're willing to pick up your cross and follow Jesus, to the degree that you will buckle down and study all of God's word, including Bible prophecy, to the degree that you will seek the Lord intensively in prayer, and to the degree that you will not just, you know, every time you have an imagination or an emotion or a self-creative fantasy or whatever you want to call it, those, you know, that's fine. Those may be creative giftings you have, but they don't mean that they are prophetic gifts. Very important. So when I get into this area, and the 37 books that I've written deal with this area heavily. Also, as a professor of eschatology or Bible prophecy under Dr. Jack Hayford's college and seminary, I taught heavily Bible prophecy and Genesis to Revelation. So a discipline to interpret, to rightly divide the Word of God, and then being open to a supernatural communication between me and God via the Holy Spirit. But here's the word of warning. If you try to jump the gun, and if you try to produce a prophecy for God's people, if you try to project the future in the form of a prophecy for God's people, and it sounds extremely off, it doesn't sound true, and in fact, as time goes by, it is not true, then people have a right to look at your ministry and discern the spirits, because there's a contradiction between what you claim and what's really happening. If you're making these prophetic announcements, and a fair number of them are not coming true, you are not an authentic prophet of God. So my ministry, I'm not saying this for the purpose of bragging. There's nothing to brag about here. I'm saying this for the purpose of helping new listeners to the Paul McGuire Report understand properly where we come from. And that's a strong biblical place in our usage of the gifts, etc. So the key here is both things are needed. But evangelical Christianity, charismatic Christianity, Bible-believing Christianity in the last, 50 years, has become very sloppy, and you have people who spend no time at all studying sciences, history, etc., and then being inspired by God and give a prophecy. Now, I'm not saying for one moment that God can't use you to prophesy in an area where you know nothing intellectually or logically or scientifically. You know zip about a particular area. But God, by his sovereign grace, not dependent on your learning or research, God, by his sovereign grace, just supernaturally zaps you with the ability to communicate with people prophetically. And that happens, and that's up to God, and that's why God's king, and that's why God's sovereign. All right. So, in my life, it has been massive research, massive reading, going to all kinds of places that many people never go to do research. I would call them chance encounters, but they're not chance encounters. They're divine encounters that the Lord sets up where I'll meet people and hope this will open a door for me to learn about them, or it'll open the door for me to find out about their ministry or prophetic gifting or whatever. And again, the purpose of me sharing this with you is not to brag, it's to define. So it's essential to do that. So when you study, you're far more prepared, and also your believability, your credibility among non-believers, when you allegedly talk prophetically, there's going to be at least some level of respect from people listening to you and intelligent people listening to you, because if they have any knowledge in the subject at all, they will instantly understand that you have a very high level of vocabulary, a scientific and technological understanding of a science, of a technology, of economics, of eugenics, of DNA, and a whole spectrum of and history and sociology, and a whole spectrum of knowledge. And so that helps to process if and when God gives you supernatural prophecies. And I want to say this. All this, by the way, is simplified and broken down really easy for you to understand in my brand new book, Power from On High. And you can still get a financial discount now if you order today or tomorrow, Power from On High. You can order it securely online. And I go into detail. But I don't bore people when I go into detail. I go into detail about many of these things. Now, what I've learned is that knowledge is power. Jesus said that. So instead of fighting against that truth, which is what many evangelicals do, they spend a lot of their time fighting against the truth of Jesus, who said, knowledge is power. Quit fighting Jesus and accept the fact that knowledge is power. Acquire knowledge. And when you acquire knowledge through an act of your willpower, you begin to exponentially increase the power, the understanding, and the wisdom that you have. Thus, the amount of potential, you know, like special ops, highly trained military teams fly all over the world, parachute in, do all kinds of amazing things, and then fly back into our nation. You've seen episodic TV shows that deal with that. Well, in the same way, God has his special ops. God's special ops don't go around bragging about it and wearing baseball caps that say, you know, you are a graduate of the special ops school. Nobody knows but you and God. Okay, so if you're in God's special ops, you are trained in a wide spectrum and in a wide diversity of technical, high knowledge, skill set fields, and you can instantly transform yourself into the modality of understanding, the decision-making, planning, conducting a operation or mission almost instantly. You have all the capabilities to do that quickly, and you have all the training to do that quickly. So it's very important. Now, God uses that, especially in the time period we live in. So another thing that I really would like to suggest to you is that you revisit, it's an easy read, revisit the account of the prophet Daniel in the Old Testament and revisit the account of Joseph in the Old Testament. And there you will see like the job qualifications for anyone who wants to be a prophet raised up by God, advise and direct prime ministers, kings, presidents, what the qualifications for being promoted in God's kingdom are to get into that kind of position. And I'm going to just break down a few of it. You want to have two 30-minute Bible studies that revolutionize your life and your children's life, then I would base it on these chapters, which I put in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2. And then I also revisited in Power from On High, which is currently at the printer. And I break it down for you in a fast-moving, you'll understand it in like 120 seconds. So the basic deal is simply this. Why God was able to use the prophet Daniel so powerfully, why God was able to use other men like David, Joseph in the Old Testament, why God was able to use them so powerfully and so prophetically, and why God was able to have them be the intimate, I mean in a pure sense of the word, the intimate friend and counselors of the heads of the most powerful empires on planet Earth, kings and prime ministers and emperors, and you know, your knees would shake far above today's governing structures. So God trusted both the prophet Daniel and Joseph to carry out mission assignments that changed the future of planet Earth. Joseph's mission assignment was to prevent mass starvation on planet Earth because they were in the middle of a drought, a shortage of food. And, I mean, this was heavy, heavy stuff. Hundreds of millions of people were going to die. But Daniel submitted to training his entire career. He was not too good to function as a servant and submit to that training. I meet pastors and Christians all the time. They've picked up this idea somewhere along the line that they're entitled. And they picked up this idea, and it's an erroneous one, that somehow they're more trained or qualified or knowledgeable or more intelligent than their brothers and sisters in Christ. Phooey. They're deluded. One thing I learned a long time ago, you think you're indispensable before God because God's given you a lot of gifts. You're dreaming. Let me tell you something, and it's not to be meant as a cruel thing or a callous thing, but God is so infinite and so almighty that if, God forbid, you were to go on a vacation or something tomorrow and never be seen again, God could instantly raise somebody up to fulfill your place, your mission, and your assignment. God has already trained people with similar skill sets as you have. And you got to humble yourself and wake up to that reality. Otherwise, you'll succumb to the delusion and the pride, which beckons all of us and whispers in our ear and says stuff like, you know, only you could fulfill this mission, this calling. Only you. So, you know, you're special. You need to take a deep breath and look in the mirror and say, no, I'm not special. I am gifted. All of you are gifted. I'm used by God. But I am not better or godlike in any sense of the word. Okay, so Joseph supernaturally interpreted the dream and vision of the emperor of Egypt. And he was promoted as like emperor number two, more than the second command. He was like the co-ruler of the ancient Egyptian empire. And the pharaoh gave him a chariot and horses and, you know, a diamond ring, a signet ring, and he was like, he had the same authority that the pharaoh had. And so God supernaturally gave him a business plan which showed Pharaoh how to prepare for a massive drought, the burning up and destruction of wheat, which was their primary food. God gave Joseph a supernatural plan that Egypt could put into action that would enable them to survive the drought, the drying up of their crops, and the famine that was being killing people everywhere. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? To our time. Daniel was a man of God. He was a prophet. And he was crying out to God in intercessory prayer all by himself, praying that God would send the archangel Michael, that God would send Gabriel, and that God would bind Daniel, and that God would bind Europa, territorial spirits. And God did that. And the reason God did it is because Daniel began his prayer with personal and repentance on behalf of God's people who violated and broke all the majority of the laws of God. And he was raised up, and he was given 100% accurate, not 99%, 100% accurate, a supernatural picture of what's going to happen in the future and what God's people could do about it. But what was interrupting the download of power from on high in that time period, in Daniel's time period, what was blocking God's power and God's wisdom from supernaturally coming upon his people in that period of time, the Lord revealed to Daniel that it was all the sins of the people, the Jews at that time, but today it would be all the sins of the Christians and the Jews who should have known better, and God was withholding, supernaturally blessing them and performing miracles. God was blocking the answer to those prayers because of the enormous amount of sins the children of God, the children of Israel, were engaged in. Heavy duty stuff. So what turned the tide? And I'd like you from the bottom of my heart to listen to what I'm saying here and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and to me right now. Because as I discuss these words from the Bible, and you listen carefully, I know that the Lord is going to reveal something to you on a level of importance that you've never experienced before. So I invite you to really focus in on what I'm about to share with you. Daniel was a prophet of God. He came into the kingdom of ancient Babylon through being arrested and being trained in various areas, such as the interpretation of prophecy. It's critical to understand. Most Christians don't understand this at all. Most non-Christians don't understand it at all. The only people who understand what I'm about to tell you is people who are excellent students in the Word of God and people who are trained, not some, you know, flake, but people who are trained in the occult sciences and arts, etc. Those are the only two categories of people that would have a degree of understanding of what's happening here. So in all the ancient empires, in all the ancient super cities like ancient Babylon and stuff like that, and in all of these kingdoms with pharaohs and kings, etc., they all the kings or all the pharaohs or all the super rulers always had in their employment about 200 men, maybe a few women, but basically 200 men who were super qualified and super trained in occult areas, like they were prophets, like they were clairvoyants, like they were astrologers, like they knew astrology and horoscopes. They were healers. They could access mental telepathy. They could interpret the future. They could remove curses. They could place curses on people. But the point that I want to make is this was not just because people of that time were flaky, superstitious, ignorant, and, you know, like scared of their own shadow. This is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the fact that throughout human history, the governments that Lucifer has raised up to rule the world on his behalf, I name some, but it could be Atlantis if it existed, or you know, any number of nations, kingdoms, countries. And the emperors, the pharaohs, the kings, the supreme rulers of all these nations usually had on average 200 or more highly trained, highly qualified occult advisors that were trained experts in Satanism, in witchcraft, in astrology, in alchemical magic, in the tarot cards, in mental telepathy, in making predictions, making projections, in performing miracles, signs, and wonders. There was a vast, vast spectrum of supernatural powers and knowledge that they were able to release at any given moment. The reason for that, and the reason we know it's not fake and a lie, is the price tag for error. In other words, if any supernatural occultic advisor of the head of the empire, made even one mistake in an interpretation of a dream, a vision, if they made even one mistake, the penalty for making one mistake as a so-called prophet of God is that you had to be killed on the spot and you had to be stoned to death. There was no room for fakery. You understand? So that ensured that the likelihood of there being false prophets and false gurus and false teachers and false miracle workers around, the likelihood of a lot of false ones, false prophets being around, the likelihood that that would happen is very, very, very minuscule because, according to the orders of the emperor, anybody caught faking a prophecy and giving a false one is to be stoned to death and killed immediately. So people didn't take the risk. You understand? They didn't take the risk. That would be suicide. Okay. So none of the prophets and advisors and occult advisors, et cetera, in the ancient Egyptian empire could interpret the vision or the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, which was, it was like a vision of this giant male statue who was a warrior with from his head all the way to his feet, the power of his kingdom would be greater and greater. So his head, which was made out of bronze in the statue, bronze has value, but it's not worth the same as gold. So anyway, Daniel interpreted the dream that these represented the coming Gentile world empires, which means that the world is going to be ruled by Gentiles, non-believers in the Bible. Gentiles will rule the world, and they will be Gentile world empires. Why did Jesus go bother to talk about that? He bothered to talk about it because what was important for them to know is that the only empire that would be successful and victorious and that would give the Jews their land as an everlasting land forever was not, you know, some minimal nothing. It was when you believe God and his word, God could bless nations and continents. So in the vision, King Nebuchadnezzar saw this picture of the king of Babylon with a bronze head and face, and then as you go down lower in his body, his feet end up being gold, and his toes are metallic, representing 10 divided nations functioning as one. And so these are very heavy-duty prophecies. And again, if the prophet made a mistake, that King Nebuchadnezzar of Egypt would have had him killed or beheaded instantly. That's the price tag. Okay, so when I refuse to put myself at that level of power by defining myself. And I think anybody that would be foolish enough to make that mistake ought to be very careful. So let me clarify what I'm saying. I do not categorize myself higher than I ought to. I do not say I'm some super prophet. I have prophetic gifts and gifts in the area of analysis, research, knowledge, wisdom, etc. And I communicate with the Lord supernaturally. However, I do not put myself near the same category as men like Elijah and other prophets of God, Ezekiel, other prophets of God. I don't claim to be on that level. So, what happened? Joseph helped the Pharaoh of Egypt get prepared in record time and built these massive warehouses to contain wheat and water. And this caused Egypt to prosper and spared the lives of countless millions of Egyptians. And then Daniel interpreted the geopolitical prophecy of what had to be done to prepare for the emergence of at least 5 Gentile world empires. And this had to be handled with perfect diplomacy and wisdom and astuteness. And so both Daniel and Joseph were what you could be called, in the correct sense of the word, prophetic leaders who demonstrated phenomenal business
and diplomatic and leadership expertise. Okay, so I want you to go right now. I'm going to reveal something to you that I think you'll find, I found it stunning. I think you'll find it stunning. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Visit Paul McGuire at paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And we're going to dive in even deeper and expose hidden truths that are applicable to your life today. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. I have some data articles from both Global Research and Dr. Joseph Percola, excellent doctor who's also an author on many different fields, and really has an incredibly accurate and well-thought-out analysis. As such, his reward for outstanding excellism in journalism and research, his reward, as you might guess, was to be stripped off, I think, one or two of the biggest social media companies for lying. No, you don't get kicked off those things for lying, okay, or for telling conspiracy theories. You get kicked off those places for precisely the opposite. You get kicked off those big social media platforms precisely because you're telling the truth. It's the truth that they're at war against. You know a lot of people. Most of them don't get it. They don't get the fundamental fact that the reason truth is opposed and mocked and minimized and called a conspiracy theory, et cetera, has nothing to do with the idea that it's fiction, it's made up, it's doesn't have integrity. No, it's the exact opposite. It's because alternative media, alternative books, radio podcasting, TV, programs like this, the Paul McGuire Report and others, the critical thing to understand is the more truth you're able to disseminate to the largest group of people, the more they're going to target you. And you need to understand that that's an expensive proposition. I don't need to explain that to you. Most of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, so right now, if we were to analyze where we are in history, America, we are in a critical battlefield arena that is unique and different than other battlefield arenas. The battlefield arena that we are in now is where there is an entire series of waging battles, life and death battles, regarding the communications industry, social media, television, podcasting, Wi-Fi. Every form of electronic alternative media or digital media of any kind, anything that's an alternative to the globalist, corporate-controlled and dominated Orwellian, you know, Bride of Frankenstein journalism, because that's what it is. And they lie. They aim and barrage endless lies at you, so you're disoriented, and eventually you just give up and start believing the lies. And that's what happened to most of your friends. That's why your friends are, and I'm not saying this to be cruel or nasty or cute, but your friends and many of my friends, sadly to say, have been, the social engineering process has been so successful. The exposure to certain EMF frequencies has been so successful. The dissemination of tranquilizing drugs in the atmosphere, like fluoride, like lithium and others, has been so successful, the 10Hz or the 10 Hertz alpha wave beam emitting on every single television show and emitting from every television set, when your body and brain is exposed to a constant 10Hz stream, that is the equivalent of an electromagnetic frequency altering your brain chemistry and tweaking it into a tranquilizer, a euphoric, a sedative, a sleeping pill, or something of that nature. In other words, even if you're not a neuropsychiatrist, you need to be, if you're to consider yourself an averagely intelligent person, you don't have to know much more than this, but you should be able to quote what I'm telling you right off the cuff. And you know what? I'm in rooms with people, and some of them are really, really smart. Some of them are really smarter than I am.
And I, by God's grace, mix in different environments where there's some really super, super intelligent people. And when somebody, whether it's a Christian or a non-Christian, is trying to put up a facade or fake like they're intelligent, fake like they know what they're talking about, the tragedy is that every single person in the room can see that this person is faking it, that they're stark, raving, naked. And the truth of the matter is they don't know anything. And everybody in the room fully gets that, except for the people who think they're geniuses.
Okay. So we've been bringing this up incrementally ever since I started the Paul McGuire Report. I talk about it in detail in my books. I provide documentation in my books. I'm going to spend a few minutes, not much more, but a few minutes revisiting weather modification or geoengineering. The technology to change, alter, manufacture the weather has been available at least since around 1947. Okay. And then as time progressed, the science of weather modification has grown and has become more powerful and far more developed than it was in 1947. So here's a fact that you need to digest and process as you perceive reality. When you look at the weather and you say, gee, that's strange. Why do we have the heat wave? Why are they having hurricane after hurricane in Florida, like Ian? Why this? Why that? Why are they finding these strange chemicals in the chemtrails? Why do they keep changing? One week they tell us that the Earth is burning up and global warming. And then when they find out scientific proof that's not true, they pull a fast one and they tell my children, oh, it's not global warming. We're protecting ourselves against climate change. Well, calling it climate change is just your backdoor excuse for covering your posterior for not knowing what the heck you were talking about. So, two mythologies. The Earth, in terms of a long-term measurable pathway, is not getting steadily hotter and hotter and hotter. So global warming is a fiction. Got it? And therefore, all the dangers it supposedly represents are also fictitious. Got it? Yes, you got it. Now, the other thing to understand is that we are taught mythologies, fairy tales. We are literally hypnotized into believing fairy tales and lies and delusions and illusions from the time we were little kids. So our society has injected the brains of young people from childhood with all kinds of fantastic fairy tales and brainwashing stories and weird stuff. I'll give you an example. The theory of evolution on a scientific, mathematical, biological, and science of eugenics perspective, if you look at it from the perspective of pure science, it is probably one of the most wacko, non-verifiable theories ever put forth in the history of mankind. Evolution is a complete joke. The idea that after 200 million years of bumping around in the universe, we mysteriously evolved into these complex creatures, it's insane. If you believe in evolution, you're insane. There's no scientific facts, by the way. The most important thing, no scientific facts to back it up. That's true. So obviously, we don't believe that. We believe those things which can be verified with facts, empirical evidence, and scientific documentation, right? Absolutely. Okay, this is Paul McGuire. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. We're going to be back in just a few moments to expose what should have been exposed a long time ago. I need you to help spread the word, send out the programming, join our shows, like them, sign up for the e-blast list. It's all free. We don't sell your name to anybody. And then make sure that you follow and like and all the rest of that stuff. It helps us win the wars on social media. Now, it is a war, by the way. There are companies and trillionaire-financed activist groups and many other subversive organizations that are after people like me. For what? For telling the truth and being a Christian. So they're after me, and they will do just about anything they can to try to remove my words, my communication from the public consciousness. Now, the only way I can win against that
is by pray to God and rely on God's supernatural protection, his angelic armies, and the chariots of fire. And then, I'm really serious about this, I go to you, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and I tell you, as your brother in Christ, that I must have your intercessory prayers, your prayers, your spiritual warfare, and I need you to stand in the gap for me, my family, and this ministry constantly, because we're in the center of spiritual warfare. And I, you know what? I thank God from the bottom of my heart for all of you who made a decision of your will to stand with me like that. Okay, so here's how it plays out. All societies are controlled by the economic system and what I call the Pharaoh God King system. If you can convince the masses or the tribe that you're the chief of or the priest of, if you can convince the masses that you are have more wealth than anybody ever had in the history of mankind, they'll do anything you say and they'll follow you and they'll follow you blindly. That's principle number one. Principle number two is if you claim to have accurate knowledge and information and scientific data about things before the rest of the world is able to discover it, that accurate information is priceless. It's priceless. And it gives you an advantage in life. So, before we continue, I want you to go to paulmcguire.us, paulmcguire.us. Find something that moved you. Spread these messages, videos, audios, articles, the website, far and wide. I have a Roku channel with hundreds of hours of Bible teaching and all kinds of subjects. Send the links to your friends. Join the Roku channel. The time may come when you don't hear me anymore. And you're not going to hear a voice telling you where to go. You're going to go, what happened to him? And you're going to say the same thing regarding many other people. What happened to him? Well, the wise man sees the danger ahead and guards himself against it. That's what you need to do, and that's what I need to do. Okay, this is the Paul McGuire Report. You can get Power from On High and some of our other books on a special pre-order discount now. If you go to paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in a moment. This is Paul McGuire. So in the top of any hierarchical society, which would include America, the EU, Babylon, or whatever, that's a society where a tiny minority rules like God kings from the top, and the slaves are at the base of the pyramid or the hierarchical chart, flow chart. So the critical thing to understand here is that all societies, and going back to ancient Babylon and other, they were not primitive cultures, by the way, but going back to ancient Babylon, these societies and super civilizations created their own money or currency, and they printed it eventually using alchemical magic, the alchemical magical formula, where they printed money from nothing. You really need to understand that at its when you quantify and analyze money for what it really is, and this is a question that I asked my economics professor at the university decades ago, and now on the air with you for the first time, I realize my assessment of his stupefied expression when I asked him in the first day of class. There's about 500 students in the class. I asked him, "Can you just give me a quick definition of what money is?" There was no answer forthcoming. I didn't realize until decades later, after I had read many, many books by my own desire, that there was a good chance that he knew the truth about money, and there was a good chance he was just in a trance state. But let's say he knew the truth about money. He certainly wasn't going to tell a student. The truth about money is that money is an alchemical, magical system. Like the Philosopher's Stone, you take something worthless, and then by supernatural means, you transform it into something that's priceless, like gold. Now, the other thing is, all the powers and empires of the earth, this is critical. I really wish we could find a way where I could teach a select number of you, a private number of you, for free, obviously. And where we could do some in-depth teaching of the word because people aren't getting it. Pray about it. Maybe the Lord will open a way. I mean, really, it's so powerful. Okay, so what you have to understand is that in every civilization and empire in human history, you have these, it's the spiritual belief that is the highest level belief that controls everything else. So in America, up until recently, the biblical God or Jesus Christ was considered our true God, the top God. Lately, it's changed. Different in different nations. So the critical thing is to understand that that true religion is a true and accurate interpretation of the Bible based on love. False religion or false prophecy is based on delusion and Luciferianism. Remember that the people who run the international banking systems, the money system, the people who run the world, most of them have one thing in common. They are worshipers of Satan, they are Luciferians, and they rule the world according to satanic principles, such as some of the principles in 33-degree masonry and many other occult arts. I know it's hard. I really do know it's hard, and we're running out of time on today's program. I know it's very hard to approach this part of the journey in your life. And what I mean by that is all your life, most of you have been told lies, illusions that basically keep you. They reinforce the hypnotic state, the socially engineered state of consciousness that you have been programmed to be in all your life. And I realize it's a very tough place to transcend from, to break through from. And how do I know that? Because just like you, I had to do it myself, and it's not easy. But once you do it, there's nothing, 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 nothing that compares to it. So the ruling mechanism is always money, the control of money, and the resources that cause the money to have value. So resources that give money value are, for example, gold, silver, precious jewels, and up until recently, the petrodollar or the oil dollar. You see, the paper currency that we call the dollar is literally worthless. It's useless. Now, that used to mean just on an economic basis. No, I'm talking about on a practical, materialistic basis. A $1 bill or a $100 bill has no value whatsoever. It's printed on a very cheap piece of paper using very cheap ink. And if you go to the bank and try to redeem it, they're not going to give you anything because it's worthless. Well, then why are they ruled by the dollar? Why do they spend money by the dollar? Why is the dollar the most important thing? Very simple. We live in the United States of America. We are not a Christian nation. We haven't been for 100-something years. We are a pagan nation. And in the United States of America, one of our religious beliefs is that we believe in mammon, or the god of money. We believe in the occultic money system. We believe in alchemical magic, where you worship something, you value something. It's actually worthless, like a paper dollar, but you worship it as if it was a mini god, and then you trade it in because of your religious fervor. You trade it in for what you believe it's worth and what you can get somebody else to believe it's worth, like $1 million or whatever. Remember that at the core of all economic and monetary systems is this simple outline of truth. Money, economics, buying and selling, the acquisition of wealth, the maintaining of wealth, all things monetary flow directly out of a matrix-like alchemical, magical system which controls the masses, which controls companies, which controls the world via money. But that money is a religious icon. It's like a statue of Jesus or a statue of Buddha. The religious icon doesn't have any value in and of itself. So the only reason money works as a economic system is because everybody believes in money like a god and enters an altered state of religious consciousness where they believe money's real and they build their lives on it. So you say, well, what do you mean, Paul? Now, by the way, I explain this to you in my books. Going back in time, my earlier books first up to the present moment, I explain all of these critical things, like the fact that money is not real. It's just alchemical magic. So if you go back to my book, Are You Ready? You'll see a simple explanation of money. If you get my book, The Day the Dollar Died, which came afterwards, they're all at discounts right now. You'll find out even more. In other words, one book builds upon another. And they're easy, fun reads. Why? Because I hate to be bored, and so I don't write boring books. Now, the critical thing here is that you understand is that money is a religious, spiritual, occult system. In order for it to work, you have to get the consensus. You have to get everybody to believe that money has value, that our government, our nation, our economic system has value. You have to get everybody to be gung-ho with that. And believe it with religious passion, and then it works. The minute people stop believing with religious fervor in the power of money, the minute it falls apart, the illusion is dismantled. And so many people, very intelligent people, have contrasted a religious experience, faith in God, they've contrasted that with a religious experience with money and faith in the dollar bill. Now, alchemical magic is an old occult principle, which simply means you can take something that is basically worthless, like worthless rock and stone, and by saying some incantations over it, performing magical spells over it, you can use alchemical magic where you supernaturally turn that simple stone into a piece of gold worth a ton of money. So, money is only as good and worth as much as people believe in it, like a religious god-like belief. This is how the world system works. Now, you're traveling along with me using the mind of Christ. I just said something to you, and I said very quietly, this is how the world works. But concurrent with that little remark I made, I entered into a heightened state of awareness concerning the reality of alchemical magic and the nature of reality and the nature of the control of reality in our world and across the world. And perhaps one of the most important teachings and secrets I reveal in Power from On High is the secret of the money system and alchemical magic. And that's in my book, Power from On High. Get it today for a financial discount at paulmcguire.us. When you use money in the form of a magical instrument, remember, all the people who own all the money in the world, the richest trillionaires, the super globalist rich, what is unique about them? They are all super religious, and they all worship Lucifer as God. Think about that. They're in unification, and they worship Lucifer as God. And so all their multinational corporations, their banks, their finances, their currencies, their armies, their militaries, the whole economic system, the fact that the super richest banks control our economic system, all of this together is like a big stew that you're stirring and putting on a stove, and you're making a stew called, what should it be called? It's a stew that is a mixture of all these important ingredients. And you establish a new organization that where you write the laws and say it's illegal to investigate us, it's illegal for you to know who you are, and that we, the Federal Reserve Banks or the Federal Reserve System, have total control over your money personally and as a nation. That's law, by the way. You know that. That's law. Okay, so notice that Mystery Babylon is the Luciferian world system that controls the world, And when you study the Luciferian world system that controls the world, what you find out is, and what I found out in a renewed intensity when I was writing Power from On High, is the two main controlling factors that Mystery Babylon uses to control all men and women are these two demonic categories. One is called sex or sexual immorality. Number two is called money, wealth, power, especially riches, money, wealth, power. These are the things that Lucifer gives throughout the centuries. Lucifer gives these things to any man or woman who agrees to sell their soul to Lucifer and serve Lucifer all the days of their lives. That's called selling your soul to Lucifer. And once you sell your soul to Lucifer, which means you promise to serve Lucifer like your God, once you enter into that pledge, you also have to renounce that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then you have to pledge that you're going to worship Lucifer as God. And then you sold your soul. And you get ripped off. I mean, the devil gives you something. I mean, he grants you a certain measure of your carnal desires, but not everything. He buys you cheap. Never forget that. Lucifer is a very shrewd businessman. When he buys your soul, he buys it cheap. So the key thing here is that the devil buys your soul. So all the people who have the mark of the beast, 666, embedded into their bodies, and they've openly said, we worship the Antichrist as God, and we reject Jesus Christ as God. Guess what? That reality is within striking distance, and it's literally around the corner from our reality and where you and I live. Within a period of calendar days, far, far faster than you could possibly believe, we are going to run right smack dab middle into this global economic system, the mark of the beast and the chip, 666. It's here. That's the purpose of the global reset, my friends. The global reset is a facade. It's a hustle. It's a pretense to bring in the one world economic system and the nanochip wireless electronic currency. All the Great Reset is a rebranding of the New World Order, the new economic system, and the new one world religion written about in the book of Genesis regarding the Tower of Babel. Mystery Babylon is the return of the demonic spiritual system that controls this world, which allows Lucifer to control this world. You got it? We're not playing. It's very important to understand that God didn't put us here to play games. What I just told you was real. Anything lesser than that is not real and is therefore a delusion. Now, you don't have to be frightened. These are my closing words. You don't have to be frightened. You don't have to be perplexed. And I'm dead serious about this. No, I'll say it differently. I'm alive serious about this. You don't have to be freaked out or bothered or filled with anxiety or anything else. Because let me tell you what the Bible says. And I've studied this for decades, probably like some of you have. So this truth, I'm still learning, but basically I own this truth. And God wants you to own this truth. And here it is. God has given me and you and every person who's born again and saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ, every person that's authentically saved, put their faith in Jesus Christ, God has given them, he has clothed them with power from on high. He has clothed them with supernatural power from on high. So right now, if you're walking in a tight relationship with Jesus and you put your faith solidly in Jesus Christ and his word, you are walking and you are clothed with power from on high. You are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power is so awesomely strong, that power is translated from the word dunamis, which means dynamite, the explosive dynamite force of God, like a rocket, like a bomb going off. It's a release of an explosive force, the dunamis dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, power from on high. And the disciples could accomplish little or next to nothing. I mean, they accomplished something, but not anywhere near what it should have been. Until they obeyed Jesus, when Jesus said, disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until the Father clothes you with power from on high, or until the Father sends you power from on high. So what Jesus was telling his disciples is, you're not going to be effective, you're not going to be victorious if you're trying to win the spiritual battles and save souls by your own puny human strength. You're going to strike out. The only way you can be victorious, the only way you can win the spiritual battle, the only way you can be an overcomer, the only way you can fulfill your God's mission for your life, the only way that that is possible is the nanosecond you decide, even if it's just a mustard seed of faith, you decide that you want to ask God, quit being proud and ask him right now out loud while you're listening to me, Paul McGuire. I'm asking you to say this out loud, and if you won't do that, then say it silently. I'm going to say it out loud. Pray it and ask God. Lord Jesus Christ, I praise your name. I thank you, God, that your word says that whatever we ask you for in Jesus' name, it will be done for them or us by our Father who is in heaven. In other words, Jesus is saying, whatever you ask me for in my name, I will do it. Kingdom law. Then another thing Jesus Christ teaches us is this, that you can ask me for anything in my name. And if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it for you. What does that mean? Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has the authority and power to give you what you ask. The only qualifier to that promise is what you're asking Jesus for must be in accordance with his will. If you're asking for selfish, carnal reasons, don't expect a miraculous answer. You get the answer to the degree you're praying precisely according to the will of God. And when you pray according to the will of God, then anything you ask God for, he'll do it for you. That's amazing. It's amazing. Okay. So, the world that we live in is rupturing and fragmenting. I believe it's the unveiling of what Jesus Christ talked about as the signs of the times, Matthew 24 and 25. I believe it's also what is happening in the book of Revelation. But the critical thing to comprehend is that ultimately, all of the freak weather, all of the tsunamis and earthquakes and wars and rumors and wars and pandemics and murder and lawlessness, all of these things prophesied in the book of Revelation and other books are coming true. But there's a qualifier. The qualifier is that many of these things are not coming true because of natural, random, or ordinary events. Got it? That's critical to process. The reality is that in many cases, all of these strange things, the signs of the times and the stuff in the book of Revelation, that seems to be coming true all around us, is coming true because of scientific technology that mankind developed in the 1940s, and secretly mankind, scientists, and governments have been using technology like weather modification, weapons, geoengineering, to radically control and change the weather for the last 50 years or so. So this freaky weather you see, wake up. You're no longer in the hypnotic state. I want to remind you of that. You're awake now. All the things that look so weird, remember, the majority of them are the product of advanced science and technology called geoengineering or weather modification weapons, where they can rule or control the weather. Thus, the strange weather patterns from Florida to California. The other thing is, our weather has been under the control of a cabal for decades and decades. Now, you don't have to believe it, but then the burden of proof is on you. I have overwhelming proof that what I just said is factually, scientifically, and historically true, and I have full documentation. In fact, I include the documentation in my book, like The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, where I quote extensively from the former head of the CIA, Brennan, where he admits openly at a Council on Foreign Relations meeting that's televised to the public, he comes out in the open and admits that certain branches of our government are dispersing chemicals and electromagnetic frequencies into the atmosphere to change the weather, to modify the weather, and to protect us from global warming and climate change. That's the excuse. So let's stop right there. We don't need to go any further. That's just one source. Sitting here an hour spontaneously, just going up to a search engine like Google, I could pull 100 documented sources that are considered highly credible that would prove to you or any intelligent person that what I just said about manufactured weather is a fact, not a fantasy. It's time for you to step up your game. Now, as we move into the last days, our success ratio, our percentages of spiritual victories versus spiritual losses, our ability to fulfill the destiny that God has called us to, is all contingent upon stepping up our game. How do we do that? We obey the Lord in the most practical senses. We walk as God commanded us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. We put our faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. Putting your faith in the power of the Holy Spirit does not mean you have to run around like a raving lunatic, foaming at the mouth. Get that out of your head. You're confused. So, you can step up your game. But the all-important thing, it comes down to two things. Increase your knowledge and study of the Word of God, and go to God in faith according to how the Bible teaches it. Ask God to fill you with power from on high. You do those two things, and if other people listening would do those two things, we could change the world in a matter of weeks, or at least the trajectory of the world in a matter of weeks. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. Spread this word far and wide.